Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome back on the air, Empowered Communication with Dr. Pat Allen. Hello, everyone. And I want to remind you really quick before we start into the show that the July Monday night will be July 11th at 7 o'clock. Culver City Marriott Courtyard. Go to the website www.drpatallen.com for more information. And again, Monday night is for the month of July is July 11th, because this Monday is 4th of July. We have a call, Dr. Allen. Shall we go?
Yes, why not?
Go to the website.
Caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. You'll have to turn your radio down. And do you have a question?
Hi, how are you guys doing? Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. So I wanted to ask about if I am asked out on a date and I feel sexually attracted to a guy, and can I show him that by being a little touchy-feely, or is that too aggressive? Is that masculine?
It's seductively. If the way to do it when you're like that is, if you've ever walked with a man down the sidewalk and you went, now, da, 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 and you put your hand on his arm, it's a part of the enthusiasm of your statement. So for you to grab his arm or to grab him or to kiss him on the cheek, you're better off having an affectionate situation occurring that in enthusiasm, you show it with your touch. Do you know what I'm saying?
I think I understand. Like, if you're saying you're both laughing, maybe, and you, he says a joke,
and you touch
and you're
him on
very
the arm.
Close together, you can touch him.
Yes, but you can't touch him without a stimulant. That's mm-hmm. very masculine. If you think about walking with a man who's interested in you, he doesn't need you to say anything for him to touch you. But for us to do it to them, I want you to be more seductive and be more feeling-centered based on a conversation that's humorous or exciting or enthusiastic, some feeling other than sexuality.
Okay. Can you give like a good example, maybe a common example?
Yeah, I just did. You're walking down the street with a man, and something is being discussed that's very exciting, and you're kind of bending over, and you're going, do you know, and the blah, 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 and you put the arm out and touch him on the arm out of enthusiasm, not out of sexual attraction.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you, caller. Okay, so last week, Dr. Allen,
yes.
By the way, you're on the air in case you didn't know. Last week, we had lots of questions come in through Facebook, and we didn't get to them because we had hot and heavy phones. So I want to remind our callers, first of all, we're sponsored by the One Institute. And the One Institute is a nonprofit organization, and we exist on donations. So we are a 501c3.
Yes.
And you can find out more about the One Institute at www.oneinstitute.org. Reach us here at the radio, 323-203-0815. Here's the question from Facebook, Dr. Allen. A month ago, on my boyfriend of almost 3 years' birthday, we got into a fight, and it was the worst fight we've ever had, and I said mean things. I thought he didn't want me at his party and spoke in anger, and I lost control like never before, and now he doesn't know what he wants to do, if he wants to work things out with me or not. To make this even more complex, we live together, and he doesn't exactly have many options to move out, as he can't afford to live alone. As of right now, we are still talking, still cordial around each other, still hanging out at the house and keeping each other company, but at a minimum, as he wants space and we're sleeping in different rooms. There has been no affection or I love you exchanges since the fight. He doesn't seem to read too ready to talk about it and make a decision. I'm really struggling with knowing what we are. I would love to be able to move on, either to work on us together or heal myself on my own. Right now, I can't do either. It seems like he's made up his mind about moving out when he's able to, but hasn't actually said this. There are many conflicting signs. My question is, do I try and force an answer out of him? He hates being pressured. Or give it more time? I think a month is enough time to decide, but maybe that's just me. I'm also afraid forcing it will backfire, and I'm really starting to lose hope. I made so many efforts to apologize, write him a letter, made dinner a few times for us, even got him a card, and nothing seems to make much difference. He's still pretty upset with me, even a month later. But when I ask him if he was only staying here for the sake of having some place to live, he sincerely said no. Well, Dr. Allen, I'm an emotional mess. What is the resolution here?
The resolution here is to realize that you had an attack of masculinity,
mm-hmm.
and you totally shocked him. The other mix-up is that you've only given him 1 month, 4 weeks.
Right.
Now, neurobiologically, it's 8 weeks
right.
for the rumination factor to take hold. What is rumination? Feel, think, feel, think, feel, think, feel, think. Do I want? Do I not want? Do I not want? Do I want?
Mm.
And so for that reason, I'm afraid you had an attack of excruciating maleness, and I'm wondering if you had a drink or you had too many donuts, because it sounds like you revved up your adrenaline pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, my suggestion to you is you have a housemate. He hasn't made his decision yet to leave or to stay. And therefore, I think you have a housemate, so make the best of it. If he's paying his half of the rent, it sounds like he's in your spot.
Because, it does sound like that for our write-in,
right.
that he's there in her spot.
Right. So my suggestion is, what was the motivation for your over-controlling? Was it, in fact, alcohol or mind-altering chemical
mm-hmm.
or just flat-out sugar? And he is not ready to leave you, and he's not ready to come home. So are you willing to give him at least one more full month of rumination time to make a decision?
So that would be a complete 8 weeks. Now, Dr. Allen,
what?
When somebody is living with you like that and they're in the rumination period, how does that... Because a lot of times when
your housemates.
Right. So it's just...
He's on the couch and you're in the bedroom or vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You act like courteous roommates.
Gotcha.
And she said she already made an amends or an apology to him.
She
Remember,
did.
An amends is for a mistake you made based on maybe sugar or alcohol or drugs. Apology is when you knew you were doing it and you did it anyway.
Okay. Let me see. We've got another question. Is it okay to offer to pay for your movie ticket on a date? Or should you just assume your date will pay for it?
It depends on who asks for the date.
I agree with that, Dr. Allen. I really do.
If he asked you to go on the date, then you leave your wallet at home or hidden in your car or your purse. If you asked him to go see this movie that you just adored, you offer to pay for both people as well.
I agree with that.
Just because a man has a penis doesn't mean he pays all the bills.
Well, I agree with that. And I think we have we get a lot of questions on this one. Who's supposed to pay? My father, who is a gentleman, always taught me that if somebody asks you out, they're paying, always bring your wallet just to be sure. And the other thing was, if you ask somebody out, you expect that you are going to treat them. You've asked them to come, and it should be your treat if you were the asker.
If you discussed Dutch treat, that's okay too.
Right, but it should be discussed.
Are you willing to go to the movies Dutch? next Saturday.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with the convenient relationship in which each person pays their half. There's nothing wrong with the codependent relationship in which one person who has money pays for the other one who doesn't have money.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to have a covenant relationship mm-hmm. where one person is the courting male or the courting female and the other one is the courtee.
Yes.
Okay. And that's where somebody's in charge of the paying and the other person's in charge of the responses and appreciation.
Very good. Again, callers, it's 323-203-0815. All right, Dr. Allen, let's take a couple more of these Facebook ones because they've been waiting for a couple of weeks now. Okay, I'm 52 and I just started a strange, committed relationship with a 68-year-old, very successful Jewish lawyer. Yes, I heard good deals when he met me, such as I won't need to work, he'll not ask me to sign a prenup, he will get off the website soon. What I mean by strange is because we're both still active online and have not talked about going offline. Although he said he has not seen anyone except me and he does not have sex with just anybody because he's very prudish. He also said that I can have platonic friends, but not romantic ones. Since we started the committed relationship, I noticed that his penis does not get hard at all, no matter how long I stimulate it. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being hard, his score is 2 or 3. This makes me believe he could be impotent. This also explained that he never made a sexual move on me when I was in his bedroom. He said that he is very shy and wanted me to take the lead. He's 68 and overweight and on many pills. I'm confused now if I should speak to him about it, getting a doctor's help, or break up. It's a sensitive topic, and I don't want to wound his ego. Do I need to find an excuse instead of telling him that his penis doesn't work? Well, I think he probably knows that. And why is he actively seeking a relationship with me if it doesn't? Does he expect me to accept the fact that he cannot get hard and we will have a sexless relationship? I don't know if I want that. What do you think, Dr. Allen?
What I think is, number one, he's 55, which is...
No, she's 52. He's 68.
Oh, he's 68.
Yeah.
Well, that's just 55 plus.
Right.
Now, she's 52, so she's perimenopausal at least.
Right.
And he is definitely andropause.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth of the matter is, at this age bracket, it is not uncommon for people to get together and stay together for companionship.
Mm-hmm.
And so for that reason, if he's on some form of medical treatment that disallows his erection,
right,
then it isn't that he isn't sexual. He can be extremely sexual. He just can't have intercourse.
So, Dr. Allen, would you suggest something like you have before, or the sensate focus type of thing? Because sex can be a lot of things. It doesn't necessarily have to be intercourse, as you point
out.
That's
what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so I recommend tantric yoga.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make a little commercial for Dawn Cartwright in Santa Monica. She is a tantric yoga international teacher
mm-hmm.
for this particular form of sensate sexual attention, not necessarily having sex in front of a person.
Oh, right, right.
But with that. So what I'm hearing is a lot of natural occasions happening, which are basically his penis is subject to his energy flow.
Right.
And that can be highly impacted by medication.
Right.
Or by attitude.
I agree. We've got a call. Shall we take it?
Yeah.
Right. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hello.
So this is kind of a weird question, I guess. Well, maybe not.
Wait a minute. Why are you putting down your question?
Okay. there's a man I went to school with a few years ago, and I never had the courage to smile at him, even though I was, like, really attracted to him. And I made the mistake of trying to talk to him, and I just ended up kind of humiliating myself because I was, like, frozen and... anyways, this was before I learned about all this stuff and read your books and whatnot. But I found one of his social media profiles recently, and it was set to private. And I wanted to know if there was a way online to do a version of the 6-second smile without me being like jumping into the masculine space, because I don't even know if he remembers me or anything like that. If there's a way to still be in that feminine position online.
I think there's a new website called The Bubble where women do all of the reaching out. Are you aware
but
of it?
But you're saying he's on Facebook, right?
So he's on Instagram, but it's set to private, and I don't want to be, like, you know, requesting to, you know, I don't want to be this, like, pushy. I just want to do whatever the online version is of the 6-second smile.
That's right. So that I'm not, and it's the... one has wink.
Yeah, like, you could send a wink, like, for Instagram. I actually have an Instagram expert sitting to my right here. Gwendolyn, on Instagram, can you do a wink or some sort of a communication with somebody to, you know, like a little flirt somehow on Instagram?
It's not a dating site, so no.
But what do you mean, like their picture or send them an Instagram of you?
No, because his profile is set to private. She can't really do anything. So
I can send a direct message, but there's no guarantee he'll see that.
Yeah,
so I could send like a emotion, like a little smiley face or something, the winky face.
I think the winky face.
You can send him a winky face, but if you actually want him to, like, you know, remember who you are, because like you said, you guys went to like school or whatever, I would suggest like putting before all of that, saying like, hey, I don't know if you remember me, but we went to blah 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 school together. And then
Because Instagram isn't actually like a dating site, unless you can find him on one of the dating sites. But like, for instance, on Facebook, they have the poke where you can poke somebody. And then, you know, like on Twitter, they have something else that you can do. I guess on Instagram they don't. So I don't know. I'm not really an Instagrammer. I'm more of a Facebooker. So, but yeah, you get the poke on Facebook. So maybe you can just send him like a, hey, remember school, winky face.
And
so,
if there's anyone listening that's on the feminine version of initiating, and I think it's whatever it is, give us a call and tell us how to do it for this lady's sake.
We have different, we love suggestions on how you're out there flirting on the internet, because that, of course, is the new venue for mating and finding a mate and dating and flirting. So we've had several conversations,
good,
Dr. Allen, on
I
that.
I have no problem with women signaling one time.
Right.
And then dropping back.
Yeah, so because otherwise, how does he know you're out there? There's a billion.
Yes,
there's a billion profiles
in
the Naked City.
That's exactly right.
Great. Does that work, caller?
Yes, that just clarifies everything. So thank you.
No problem. Do you have any other questions?
I guess insecurity about like I'm still getting my business set up and like I haven't gotten the results yet, and I know that's totally like the masculine side of
me.
But I feel like I bring that to dating, like, oh, I don't make enough money yet, so I'm not, like, I feel like I,
well,
the worthiness
stuff comes
up, even though
I
know.
Do you want to be a career woman with a man who is a man first and a career or a job on the side? What do you want to be?
I would love that, to be that on the side. I just, there's, like, a weird trust thing, like, I know I can draw that out of him. I'm so used to attracting the men that are, like, expecting me to do all the work, and that's why I have been, like, taking a time out lately from dating.
Well, you didn't answer the question. Are you a career woman or a woman with a career?
I would prefer to be the woman with the career. Right now, I'm the career woman, and I would prefer to be the woman with the career on
what
the side.
What is the reason that you can't go off work and become a woman? What is the problem? Are you working 24/7?
Yeah, I'm like in burnout mode, basically. Yeah.
So what are you dating for? Because all you're doing is sabotaging your date life.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
See, what I'm hoping is you flirt 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week, but four of those are just pass-bys and smile and that's it. You don't talk. You don't do anything. Once a week, I want you to be seated, standing, or somewhere where a man can walk up and say something to you. So are you not doing something, going to Starbucks, sitting there, drinking your coffee, watching your whatever? Are you doing one standing, sitting date? No, not a date. Standing, sitting.
Flirt.
Flirt.
Yes, I need to do that.
Oh, you're not doing it?
Nope, not yet.
Okay, then you're not really getting in the game.
I know, exactly. I need to get over my fear and just go out there and do it.
You can't get over your fear. But feelings aren't negotiable. You can get through your fear, but not over them. The way to get over your fear is drunk, drugs, kill yourself, kill somebody else. Those are a little drastic. I suggest you just live with your feelings and take action appropriate.
Okay. I can do that.
Good.
I'll do it.
Awesome. Good. Well,
thank you.
Update us, caller.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Let me see. So we have another question. Ooh, lots of questions backed up. Here we go. Ooh. Hello, Dr. Pat. I have a dating question. A very nice guy contacted me on a dating site. He asked for my number and called me immediately to arrange a lunch the same day, but he was flying that night, so very busy and couldn't meet. He wanted to arrange to see each other later, but I was at work and couldn't. He called me that night before traveling, but I was on a date and couldn't get his call. Sent a message 3 hours later saying I was sorry for missing it. He wrote me the same evening he came back from his trip, and I was with my girlfriends, and he said he didn't want to interrupt to talk the next day, but he didn't contact me again. I'd love to meet him in person. Is it okay for me to contact him in some way without chasing him?
No.
Okay.
Because that's chasing him.
Right.
What I'm hearing is you're two busy people, and the fun of chase is what men fall in love while chasing.
Right.
Men do not fall in love when they are chased.
Chased, right.
Women do not bond when they chase.
Right.
And women do bond to men who chase them enough to eventually get in the same space and have a romantic date.
Right. Makes great sense. Okay. Dr. Allen, thank you for answering my questions. I have another one. If drinking knocks out women's feelings and they become more male, how come some girls start to get emotional when drunk and think and talk about their problems and cry?
Emotions are not feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Emotions are reactions to feelings because the feelings are deadened.
Right.
And then you go into reaction state.
Okay.
Do you see? There's a difference. So when men drink, they knock out their thinking to become emotional.
And right.
That's where men start doing. If you meet a man in a bar and he's been drinking, you're with a girl with a penis.
Right. Okay.
And if you're a man and you meet a woman that's been at a bar with her girlfriends who are now her boyfriends, she is going to be much more aggressive, much more assertive, much more masculine, and probably much more sexual than a woman who is sitting there being sober, drinking Perrier. Do you see?
Right.
This is just what happens.
Right. Liquid backbone.
That's exactly right.
Right. Right. Here's another question. Dr. Allen. The people who smoke marijuana, which, as you know, is very popular, why? And what is the effects? Is it like the effects of alcohol with respect to men and women?
No. Alcohol is chemically much more cleaner as a sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And so the body absorbs it and handles it.
Mm-hmm.
The brain lives on glucose.
Right.
And so drinking alcohol, is a straight shot at sedating the brain and its feelings and thinking, but when you're taking pot, it affects the hippocampus very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, the hippocampus is the memory bank.
Mm-hmm.
So people that are potheads forget what it costs them to be potheads.
Gotcha. We got a call.
Pot.
Hello, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Dr. Allen,
yes.
You know, I spoke with you yesterday, and you helped me craft a hi-bye letter that I did send. I suppose it was more like a letter of amends when I sent a breakup text to the
yes.
guy that I was seeing over the weekend.
Yes,
you remember. Okay, well, my follow-up question with you is after I did send that breakup text to him on Sunday.
Did he give you a text?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Did he text you?
Yes, he did text
and
me.
And what did the text say?
He said, what did you drop off? And who did you tell them you were? Who did you hand it to? That was the nature of... And then he said, please don't go to my work again.
So what he said is, I don't want you.
Okay. And he said that after I sent my breakup text, in which
yes.
I was saying... Okay, so you think that was more of a reaction?
Well, is this the second time that he said, don't come to my work?
I'm sorry, say that again?
You sent him a message that he reacted to, right?
Yes,
and
yes.
he said, don't come near my work. Then
yes,
you sent a hi-bye to him to make nice, to make an amends. Is that correct?
Yes, I sent a hi-bye letter to him
right.
when you helped me craft it yesterday.
That's right.
Yes.
And then he said again, the second time, don't come near my work.
No, after I sent him the hi-bye letter, which was actually today when I sent him. I have not heard from him today. I guess my question to you is when
he's
I
got
sent
8 weeks to reach out to you.
Okay.
He's got 8 weeks from the time he got your high buy to think, feel, ruminate, neurobiologically to decide if you're worth the risk.
Okay.
So one or two days is nothing. You know, I'll tell you this. Men think A, B, C, D. Women go A, Z, and work their way back. We drive men, mm-hmm. especially right-handers, crazy with our reactiveness.
Yeah.
So could you sit on it for another 8 weeks?
Yes, I will do that. I guess what I'm trying to get clarification on is after I sent him the breakup text last weekend.
Yes, I know.
I also dropped off his things at his work. And so his follow-up text after that is, what did you drop off? You know, what of his things did I drop off? And who did I tell them I was? And who did I hand it off
to? He wanted to know how many people were gossiping about you and he.
Oh, okay.
He was ashamed and embarrassed.
It's not... Do you think it's much more to do with he's ashamed of me, them knowing about me?
No, he was ashamed of being seen as a couple with you, apparently. He wanted to know how many people in the company know what's going on. How many do?
Specifically about him being with me in a relationship or
yes,
about our
yes,
breakup?
Yes, you and he that have put the two of you in the same box.
Oh, okay. So he was
did you
embarrassed
get the,
about
did
that?
Did you get the message to a guard? Did you take it in for a line manager? Where did you do with the message?
You mean his things?
Yeah, his things. What did you do with his things? Who'd you give them to?
Well, I gave it to somebody who works there. Well, he wasn't working at the time. So I just left it
But did you know that he wasn't working at the time? Was your intention to leave it with somebody that so it would out him?
No, it wasn't. I just wanted to not be to actually not see him. So I was just going to drop it off.
That's when you were dumping him.
Yes. Right.
Okay.
And well, for me, fortunately, he wasn't there, so I didn't have any contact.
Right. But then you wrote a hi-bye letter, which is, I made a mistake.
Yeah.
And he's asking, how many people am I looking in the face of who know what's going on?
Well, he didn't ask. He asked those questions before.
I know, but he did it twice.
He asked you those questions after you went to his work and you dropped off his stuff, which is a pretty personally out way of dropping somebody. It's kind of a very public way of dumping someone.
Yeah. And
it's
then
like throwing the suitcase out the upstory window.
Yeah. It's pretty. I think it's a little bit aggressive, Dr. Allen.
I understand that that's the maleness that he's got to deal with.
Right.
Now, if they have enough chemistry, he will think and feel his way into or out of a relationship experience with her again.
Gotcha.
But right now, do nothing. You have nothing to do.
Okay.
You've done both. You ended the relationship and then you opened it back up again.
Mm-hmm. So if he is angry because I dumped him and also the way I broke it off with him in a very public way, like you said, and rightfully so, the way I did it.
Okay, so you made a mistake, but you wrote him an amends statement that said you knew you made a mistake. I mean, you're not perfect.
Yeah, it was an impulsive thing. Okay, so I'll just wait.
You wait 8 weeks and don't reach out to him.
Yeah, and don't reach out to him the last day of the 8 weeks. It's the next day after the eight weeks completes.
Yes.
Mm.
Okay.
Gotta give him the full 8 weeks, girls. That's one of the problems we're having with Dr. Ellen's has given that 8 weeks, and they're like, it's been 7 weeks and 6 days, and I'm like, 8 weeks, 8 weeks, day
it's
after.
It's so magical how often it's at the same time on the same day 8 weeks later.
Right. It's a cycle, I think, Dr. Allen. Like,
it is a cycle.
We were talking.
Every time I go to my CEU training programs for my license, I go to the brain work, and I see this eight-week thing.
And this cycle, yeah. And it's a full cycle, so it has to run its entire course. Just like antibiotics.
Okay.
This is Dr. Ellen's antibiotics. You got to take all of them, or else you're in trouble. You get a super infection.
Okay.
I can just rest my mind then. Just let it be.
Let it be, and just say
your
prayers.
So, Dr. Allen, what can she do in the meantime in this 8 weeks?
Date others.
Oh, well, there you go. That is something to do. That is entertaining.
But don't have intercourse with them. He'll know it.
Right, but dinner is okay, and a movie, and a nice cup of coffee. Or
anything but intercourse.
Yeah.
It's okay for him to see me on a dating site?
Well, why would you go on a dating site? I was thinking more like going to a dance hall or bowling
Starbucks
or someplace.
Or Barnes & Noble. Or
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Go
I'm
to
not
Starbucks.
Really
show
him then that I'm dating.
No, you don't. You're not. I don't think the intention is to make him jealous. I think
no,
the intention is to make him think and feel until he comes to a natural conclusion. Is that right, Dr. Allen?
Yes.
So we don't want him to be provoked by the green-eyed monster necessarily. We want him to think and feel about you so that he comes to a right conclusion.
He wants to evaluate whether you're 51% valuable for him to take another risk.
Okay.
Remember, the soul of a man is very sensitive, and it needs to be appreciated and respected for its feelings. And the soul of a woman is tough.
Yeah, and I think that with the way you broke up with him, that he may see that as a lack of respect. So it's going to take him a little while to ruminate about this. I would think 8 weeks, and you're going to need all eight of them.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Welcome.
Bye-bye, caller.
Bye.
Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hello.
So this is my accountability call. We had a life script analysis a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, good.
Yeah, so I'm seeing a man who's married.
You're seeing him? You're the man?
Sorry, he's seeing me. He's definitely seeing me.
Remember, ladies, if you're dating him, you're the man. If he's dating you, you're the woman. And you can tell because he asked you to date him. He took you out. He was the man.
Yes, he did all of those things.
All right. So what did you want to know?
I want to know this. So you told me month to month. Today is the first of the month. I'm not going to commit a whole month, but I'm going to commit today because I'm seeing him today. And I realize
Wait a minute. What are you committing to? Let the audience know what you're committed to.
I've committed to, well, before when we spoke, I was, obviously, this is a very painful situation for me. And deciding to be or not be a mistress each month is easier than
saying, okay. Oh, I see. You're
saying,
a mistress to a married man, and you have a decision to make whether you want to stay his mistress.
Yes, correct.
Okay. And so for today, you said yes or no or what?
For today, I said yes to today because I'm seeing him today, and I'm going to tell him how I feel about him. I know a lot of my frustration with myself came from the fact that I never just told him straight up that I love him and I want to be with him. I'm afraid of the answer, but
well,
I think it's important that I
just get
it out.
Listen to what I'm saying. You can tell him that you love him, but the following sentence is, I can't be your mistress because I love you. You're making that decision whether you want to be his mistress and not say a word about wanting him, because that's not the mistress's job.
Oh, I see. So I just say, I love you, and I can't do this anymore because I love you.
That's exactly right. Now, are you ready to get rid of him because you can't do it or not?
Oh, I'm not ready. No, I wasn't planning on telling him I'm leaving.
Then I want you not to tell him you love him either.
Oh, really?
If you're going to be a mistress, be a mistress.
I had a weird dream about him last night.
I wouldn't doubt it. I want to finish the sentence. Will you keep... Do you want the job of mistress, which is sidebar to a wife...
No, I don't.
Well,
I want him.
Then do you want to end it with him by saying, I cannot be your mistress any longer. I love you too much.
Oh, I do, but I can't do it today.
All right, then you know what? That's honest. So every day, ask yourself if you can do it. If you say yes, do it. If you say no, end it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, can I tell you about my dream about him? I think it's
if
really
it's short enough.
Yeah, it's short enough.
All right, go.
So I'm in my childhood home. Well, my home where I grew up from age 15 to like 21. And we're on the first floor, kind of like slash basement. And I want to tell him that I love him. And I with him, we go into my room where I grew up. And I tell him, I love you. And then I see there's something in my bed, and it's my sister reading a book. So I get angry with her, and I say, you should have made your presence known you were listening. So we get out of my room, go into the common area of the first floor, and I tell him how I feel, and then he says, look, I can't leave, I can't leave, I have family, I can't leave. Then I cut off three of his fingers, which he doesn't mind, and then he leaves. And then
which
I look
hand?
At the fingers, and
which
I don't know what
hand?
To do with them.
Which hand?
It was a ring finger, the finger that you point with, and then a thumb.
Left, so it's the ring finger.
The pointer finger and the thumb.
Point.
Mm-hmm.
And the thumb, right?
Yes, correct.
And they're gone.
Yes. Well, okay. I have them in my hand. They're like in
well,
a
they're, they're off
my
him.
Hand.
So look what that leaves, Dr. Allen.
Yes, I know. You're giving
what does
him
that
the
mean?
Finger. Is this the end of the dream?
It is. Well, he leaves, not like he leaves me, but he just leaves because he has to go, and then he leaves. And I'm just, I'm at home with these fingers, and I'm upset, of course, and I don't know what to do with
the fingers. Do you have any new ideas that goes with this? Because I'm ready to read it.
No, that's it. That was it. Well, my sister in the bed, that was strange.
I'm going to read that.
And wait, one more question I have. You said he was not perturbed or upset in any way by you cutting off three of his fingers?
No.
Okay. No, he wasn't.
Yeah.
Anyway,
he wasn't.
Okay.
He just let me do it.
You're in the home you were when you were a young adult, right? First floor.
Yes,
or
correct.
The basement, in the feeling system basement. When you dream of being in the attic, you're in your head. When you dream of being in the kitchen or the bedroom, you're in reality. When you dream about being in the basement, you're way down in your feelings. You're telling him. Now remember, everything in the dream is you.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, you're telling yourself, when you dream of a man, you're dreaming of feelings. When you dream of a woman, like your sister, you're dreaming of thinking and doing. So you tell yourself, the part of you that's in love with him, that you love him. But in the bed, your sister, who represents doing good in you, your sister is your sister in reality, but the part of her that's in your dream is the part of that's trying to figure out what to do. She's reading a book. Duh. That's a source of information. And you go out to the first floor, and you and he, or just you go out to the first floor?
Oh, no, it was still the same level, like first floor.
I got it. It was still the
level,
basement.
From
you're
the
still
room,
calling
I went
it.
To the common
okay.
area.
And then you cut three fingers off of his right, left hand? Left hand.
Left, yes.
Okay. You do the ring finger, which is the mistress ring, you know, because it's a loved one. The thumb, if a whale had a thumb and could go on the ground, walk on the ground, they could rule the world. The thumb, the oppositional thumb, is what allows humans to use tools. And then you've got the ring finger, the first finger, which is the pointy finger, and he leaves. But what his leaving is, the left hand is the heart side. So this dream is about you leaving the reality of being his mistress. You're dreaming of processing. You're trying to figure it out within yourself, and you have decisions to make. Right now, you've not made the decision. You're starting to, but you haven't finished it. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks, caller. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, Dr. Allen.
What?
We have a question here. Okay.
By the way, Wilda Tanner has a book, The Mystical, Magical, Marvelous World of Dreams.
Oh, yeah. I have that one.
Which is a very good book and extremely cheap at Amazon.
Very good.
And I teach dream classes.
Yes.
As well as script classes.
It's excellent. Live
and
script,
so
right.
I just want people to know Wilda Tanner, The Mystical, Magical, Marvelous World of Dreams.
And if you're interested or you want more information about any of the classes that we have at the One Institute, you can go to the One Institute webpage, which is www.oneinstitute.org, or to drpatallen.com. And you can even find some stuff at the One Institute site, wantistore.com. Very fun places to go. I totally recommend them. Dr. Allen.
What?
Here's the question. I've been listening to your podcast. I want to say I've been very, very enlightened. But as a result of hearing some of the things you said, I am beginning to think that I may be brain damaged from early stimulation before my first period.
Oh, yeah.
It was with another kid. I've always had very painful, dysfunctional, unhappy relationships. And my 10-year marriage ended lonely and verbally abusive. Since then, I've been developing a relationship From what I'm hearing and listening to you, I'm beginning to understand I've been deeply wounded. What do you have for her, Dr. Allen? What would your course
I be? I would have her read Arthur Janoff's book, The Biology of Love, which is about destructive, inappropriate sexual stimulation. And I want to make a statement about that. A little girl, before her first stabilizing menses,
right,
before that time, she is very vulnerable to stimulation. And if she's, even if she's, and I'll say this carefully, she's in a front room and the man next door comes over to visit and she feels his lustfulness, that can make her skin crawl and impact her nervous system to the degree that she will produce more receptors for dopamine. Sex and money and mind-altering chemicals stimulate dopamine receptors, and they want their dopamine.
Right.
So what happens is the brain can't dismantle the receptors, or won't.
Right.
And so the girl becomes a horn dog.
Oh, okay.
And or she becomes repelled by sexuality.
Okay.
But she loses the normal responsiveness.
Okay.
And so I'm hearing when I have a girl of this type, you know, I tell her, do not even think of attempting casual sex.
Oh, yes. I could see where that would be a problem.
It is important that you feel cherished, wanted, and not used and abused.
Right.
So, Arthur Janoff, The Biology of Love, as well as this information about pre-menses sexual stimulation that produces too many dopamine receptors, which makes a woman more horny than is natural. And therefore, she cannot be faithful. She's promiscuous. And she's often in the sex industry.
Right.
Do you see?
Okay. Interesting. Dr. Allen.
What?
I need a book recommendation. What would you recommend for sugar addiction?
Kay Shepherd's book, From the First Bite.
Okay.
Extraordinary.
Awesome. From the First Bite. Okay. High stress levels, Dr. Allen. In total cortisol, problematic trouble. Don't know how to overcome. What book?
Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers by Robert Sapolsky.
Robert Sapolsky.
Extraordinary book about distress. There's eustress created by parties and weddings, and there's distress created by shoulds and should nots. Should be perfect, should try harder, should hurry up, should please other people before yourself, and should be strong and not need help.
Right. So for the problem of, we've got a call. We only have a minute. Let's grab it real quick.
Okay, grab.
Hey, caller, you're on the air. You've only got a minute. So what's going on?
Lay it out.
Oh, I know. I just was getting my nerve up here.
No, just say it.
I'm in a relationship with somebody who's 20 years younger than myself.
Okay, is he over 18?
And I'm
over 18.
Is he over 18?
What now?
Is he over 18?
Yeah. Yes, he is.
Okay, so you're not a child molester.
Oh, not.
So what is the problem?
Either one of them. Okay, the problem is I just wanted a little bit of guidance. He's very possessive and...
are you the man? Are you the cougar? Are you a cougar with him? Are you the boss?
I don't know. That's he is very decisive and he's very
all right. So he's a man. and you like a young lover, so there.
Yes.
What's the problem? Yeah. I don't hear a problem yet.
Well, the problem, well, the thing I'm asking about is I'm on bioidentical hormones.
So what?
And I tend to be a little more feminine than someone maybe my age, other girl, women.
Well, are you planning to marry this?
So I wondered if that is affecting, does that have any impact on the dynamics of a relationship? You know,
honey, sugar has dynamics. Everything has an impact. Cyclic, you know, our periods. So, yes, everything impacts you, but if you're having a good time, enjoy yourself.
We gotta go!
Irreverent, entertaining, cool.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.